Morning. The scripture reading today is from Psalm 32, verses 1 through 5. Blessed are those whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed are those whose sin the Lord does not count against them, and in whose spirit is no deceit. When I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long, for day and night your hand was heavy on me. My strength was sapped as in the heat of summer. Then I acknowledged my sin to you and did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to you, the Lord. And you forgave the guilt of my sin. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
My great aunt Rosellen died this past week and is in heaven with Jesus today. Isn't that a great thing? And I think she's just going to like it so much. I really do. She was one of the most gracious women in my life and was one of these people that whenever she saw you, just believed in you. And I'm happy to be thinking about that today, about eternity and its goodness and all those things. When we talk about forgiveness today, I'm going to ask you to pray for me in just a moment. I want to be really clear that I'm only going to start talking about forgiveness. There's going to be a whole sermon series. It's very complex, but you may have a friend who could benefit from that, and it has ever mentioned to you, I'm just having a hard time with forgiving somebody, or there's an issue in my life. Out on the connection desk, out and to the left, there are cards that talk about this series. You might want to just pick one up and give it to a friend as a way of inviting them and invite them to come, and they can hear this sermon on the podcast. So let's bow our heads and pray that it's worthwhile and helpful and God-honoring. Lord, I pray for the words of my mouth and meditation of all of our hearts that they might be acceptable to you. You are our rock. You are our salvation. I pray, Lord, that as we talk about this complex topic of forgiveness, that your spirit would anoint us. And that you would give us the things that we need to hear and that I need to say, and that all would be in keeping with the purposes of your scripture. In Christ's name, amen. I had to, travel this week to a meeting in North Carolina, and I flew to get there. And on the way, I was at Dulles Airport. I was on the little tram, in between concourses. And I'm standing there, it's always a very religious experience when you're on that little tram because everybody's praying they're going to get their flight on time. It's very nice. It's like being in church. I'm standing there holding the pole, and there's a guy sitting on that little shelf at the end of the car, and he is having a bad day. And he's talking on his cell phone, and those cars are kind of small, right? And everybody's in there together, and he's loud when he's talking. And I didn't jot it down. It didn't occur to me until that night that this is going to be a sermon illustration. But I did remember what he said. And he was saying something like this. He was saying, I will not work with him anymore. He has embarrassed every member of our group by the way he has impacted us with his poor work, his missed deadlines. I do not understand why he is still being assigned responsibility given all that I have had to endure over these past months with him. I almost missed my concourse, I swear. Because I wanted to stay long enough until he hung up and just say, you should stop talking. Because none of it's good. Now, I felt for this guy. I felt for this guy. I bet you do too. I was not judgmental of him. I want you to know that. I was not judging him. I felt bad for him, really did, because I've been there. Have you been there? Yeah, I've been there. Now, his situation was at work, but I've been there in other places too. Someone has impacted you negatively, or you're angry, or you're sad, or you're disappointed. This thing comes in a lot of forms. But when I looked at that guy, I could just tell something. He was carrying a sign, And the sign said, "You owe me. You owe me." And you know what's interesting? He did not know he was carrying the sign. But it was big. And we've all been hurt by other people, right? Have you? Have you ever had someone you needed to forgive? Yeah? Just nod your head. Have you ever had somebody you need to forgive? I just want to make sure I'm talking about something that we've all experienced. We all have a sign like this sometimes. It just says, and you know, it's funny. We don't even know we're carrying them sometimes. People carry these signs all the time. They carry them at work. Sometimes they carry them on airplanes. A lot of people on airplanes have them, I notice. Right? Strange as the places, and everybody carries them. People that are famous carry them. We all carry these signs that say, "You owe me." I was reading a book on forgiveness recently. And in this book on forgiveness, the author was talking about counselor had written the book and was talking about a man that he had dealt with, and this man's wife had left him for another man by about 5 years earlier. And this man had made a decision that he was not going to tell his children why the marriage broke up. In their world, the marriage broke up because my parents fight a lot. And he did that because he didn't want them to think negatively of their mother. But now it's 5 years later, and the truth is, he's still carrying it. He's got a boatload of anger about it. He's talking to the counselor about it. And what's happening is he's got a sign and he carries it everywhere he goes. And the sign reads what? "You owe me." And what he doesn't realize is that this sign, once you start carrying it, you don't lay it down. If what happened is at home, you don't lay it down when you go to work. And if what happened was at work, you don't lay it down when you go home. And if it happened in the community, you don't lay it down when you go and are by yourself. Eventually, the sign becomes a part of you. And this sign is, I don't know, it's just something that becomes a part of us. A girl goes to college. She goes to college, and as she's talking to people at college, she begins to realize something. Other people miss their families. Other students, it's their first semester, and other students, as they're getting ready for the winter break, they're just, for the first time in their life, some of them are articulating how much they're looking forward to seeing their family, how they miss their sisters, even their sisters, their brothers, how much they miss their parents, how good it's going to be to get home. And what she realizes is she just as soon stay and work through the break. She doesn't have that family. She has no horrible stories. But the truth is, her parents have never attended to her in the way that she's now understanding other people's parents attended to them. In fact, what she began to notice when the semester kept rolling is that a lot of students, their parents call them, sometimes each week, to check in on them, see how they're doing. And she begins to wonder, what is it about me that I never get a call? What is it about me that I never get a text or an email? And she realizes she's grown up in a family that's aloof and distant. And sometime during the semester, she picked up a sign, and it reads, "You owe me." And it's not that she's wrong. This is the thing about forgiveness. It's not that the frustration we hold towards someone is wrong or inaccurate. What we have to be careful of, though, is what it begins to do to us. Because when she goes home for her break, she walks in the door and she's got this big sign. In fact, she kind of banged her when she walked in the door. And what she's discovering now is it's unsettling, because even when she's on a hike with her boyfriend, she seems to be talking about this. She's carrying a sign. When she's with friends at a party, when she goes out, she's got this thing. There's something wonderful. I mean, we all have to admit it. I don't know if you feel this way about your sign, but I feel this way about mine whenever I carry it. There's something wonderful about carrying this sign and lofting it as high as I can. It feels so powerful. Because when I carry this sign, I feel so right. It's awesome to be right, isn't it? Seriously, don't you love being right? I do. Sometimes I love it so much I have to tell other people that, in fact, I am. Right. And whenever I carry this sign, I feel right. I do. And it's wonderful, that feeling that comes with it. But it almost always leads to something else in our lives. It leads to harsh words and harsh thoughts and held anger and feelings of contempt. And the experience of wounds, this is the big one. It's the experience of wounds that simply will not heal. Because here's a truth about forgiveness. Sometimes you're never going to hear, "I'm sorry." So especially if you're right, the feelings that it can bring can be really hard because you don't know what to do with them. But carrying this sign, it does something to us. It does something to us that's not good. Whenever I carry this sign, one of the effects it has on me, and maybe you have this experience with yours, as long as I carry this, it's like a force field. And what I never do is when I carry this sign, I never think about what I owe others. In fact, I find this sign so preoccupying and so focusing. It has the effect of focusing my attention in such a way that I really don't have the ability to do what in the Christian life we call self-examination, which is one of the great spiritual disciplines. Self-examination is when I look at my life and I say, "God, here's what I've done to others, and here's what I've done to you, and here's what I've done to myself, and here's how I have sinned." You know, a sin is when you do something that offends God. And the thing about holding the sign is the longer I hold it and the higher I hold it, the less I am willing to do that which allows me to do something different with my life. And Christianity is a very unusual religion. It's a very unusual religion because Christianity, when Jesus talked about what he wanted his followers to do, one of the things that he invited us to do is to put this sign down. And I'll tell you why in just a minute. But he wanted us to put this sign down. But in putting this sign down, he invited us to enter into a tradition that was very much a part of Judaism. So for people like us, most of us are Gentiles. We were non-Jewish before we started this whole thing. He invited us to enter into a tradition that was a part of his heritage as a Jew. And it was a tradition of picking up another sign. And this sign is different. This sign says this. It says, "I owe you." Now, you need to hear this one sentence or the rest of the sermon won't make sense to you. Are you ready for the sentence? "You" refers to God. So I'm going to hold my sign up to the cross, and I'm going to do that to show you that what I'm saying is Jesus invited us to look at God and say, "I owe you." Because he believed that if we would pick up the IOU sign, it would have a profound impact upon our life. And you can see this in Psalm 32, which you heard today. Psalm 32 is one of the what we call the penitential psalms in the Old Testament. It's a wisdom psalm. It gives you instruction about how to live. It's a penitential psalm. There are only seven of these. You know, there are different psalms, psalms of lament, psalms of praise, et cetera, et cetera. Well, this is the penitential psalm invites us to think of what we owe to God. It's a psalm that invites us to self-examination. It says, it's good for your soul when you actually sit down and look at your life and say, "Who have I hurt? What promises have I not kept? Where have I gossiped? And God, what are the commandments that you've clearly made that I've broken?" The psalm calls us to get honest about ourselves and then to make amends with God, because it says until we make amends with God, our life is going to have distance in it that's not good. Now, you know this is true, right? You know it intuitively. And some people, they talk about Christianity like it's all about guilt. They always want to talk about sin. Well, there's a reason we talk about sin. Well, there's a reason we invite each other to think about our own sins. It's because we know that sins hurt us. Now, I've used this example before, and I may use it too much, but it's a metaphor. So I hope you understand it's a metaphor. But it's also something I think that a lot of us have heard. The mom says to the son, "Son, You haven't cleaned up your room for 6 months, and it's time. The Department of Sanitation called, and they said, really, you must. It's becoming unhealthy, and frankly, I just need you to do this every so often. You don't have to do it every week, but you have to do it every so often. I need you to clean the room. And you can't do anything else until you clean the room. That's the deal. And so the son says, okay, no problem. And he goes upstairs, and the door closes. And she can hear him sort of banging around up there, and she thinks, what a wonderful son. I have a wonderful son. No big deal. No complaint. He just went up there to clean his room. Husband walks in. Where's the son? He's cleaning his room. He's so wonderful. About an hour goes by. Comes down the stairs. She hears the door open. I'm going to go over and see John. Is your room clean? Yeah. Okay, see you later, honey. Thanks. Okay, Mom. The door closes. And she's thinking to herself, look how far we've come. He's growing up. And then eventually she's doing some things and she goes upstairs and she opens the door of his room. And to her shock and surprise, she realizes the room, you're all going to be surprised by this, the room has not been touched. It's not that he cleaned it inadequately. It's that he has done no thing at all to his room. No thing at all. How does the mom feel at this moment? She's not happy. Now, have you ever been there? I'm just curious. Any of you ever experienced something like this in the ballpark? Now, why does she feel anger? She feels anger because she asked him to do a simple thing. And listen, those parents, they are the creator of the child. They are the creators. They are the creator of the home, and they are creators of the room. And all they've asked him to do in return for giving him life is just clean the room. Right? And he said he would clean it. He said he did clean it. And he did no such thing, nor did he intend to, apparently. How does she feel? How does she feel? She's angry. Now, here's the thing. Some of your anger is rooted in justice. Some of our anger is just bad junk. But some anger is just. And it's a reflection of God's justice. It's a reflection of the nature of God imprinted on your soul. Some of your anger is a good thing because it says, this is not right. You know, whenever you get one of those feelings where you just go, this ain't right, pay attention to that. So, if she's a functional mother, what will she do? She will call John's home, or she will march to John's home. And she will grab the ear. And she will bring him back and say, thou shalt cleanest thou room. Now, if she's not functional, she'll just pick up a sign and live this way. You see what I'm saying? Now, that's a pretty mild example, I think, in the great issues of life. But it reflects nicely this issue that in the midst of all this, there's a desire that we have for justice, but there's also the impact of what happens when we hold on to unresolved issues. And this is why Jesus said, you know, if you have a lack of reconciliation, somebody leave church. Just leave church. Go find them. Deal with it. Because if we don't, the Psalms say, if you don't, it's just going to kill you over time. Psalm 32 says that we're all guilty of making promises to God that we don't keep. We've all left without cleaning up our room. The psalmist understands that when we sin in any way, it creates an imbalance in our relationship with God. And it's good for us when we don't clean up our rooms to come back, say we did it, apologize for it, and then clean the room. That's good for all of us. Many Christians, when saying the Lord's Prayer, reflect this really quite well. If you go to a Presbyterian church this morning, when they say the Lord's Prayer, they will not use the word trespass. They will say, "And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors." Exactly. And what's nice about that term, I'm not suggesting we change the practice we have in the Methodist Church, but what's nice about that term is it's a quantifiable, debts, debtors. We know that language, especially in a time when so many are struggling with foreclosures on mortgages. Debts and debtors has a lot of relevance to us right now. Only when I realize that I'm a debtor will I begin to release others from their debts. Does that make sense? Only when I begin to realize in my relationship with God that I owe God will I be able to lay down my sign that says, others owe me. There's a humility in that acknowledgement that's just healthy. But I find it so hard to remember that. It's funny. I can remember other people's debts beautifully, but my debts, I don't know. I hope God's got those written down because I've just forgotten about a lot of them. Sadly, the Lord may have written them down. Jesus talked about this. He told a parable one time to his followers. He told a parable of a man who borrowed so much money from a king. It must have been a speculative type thing. But this guy borrowed a ton of money from a king, and he could not pay it back. It was more money he was ever going to make in his life. And so the king called him before him. He said, "Where's my money?" He said, "I'm sorry, the deal fell through. I don't have it." And the king said, "Well, I'm going to sell you and your family into slavery, and I'll redeem you." And the man begged the king. He said, "Please don't do that. That'll change my family forever. My children, it's my children, it's my wife. Please don't do that." And the king, in a moment of compassion, had mercy. And he forgave the man the debt. He said, "I'll just write it off. Just go." When the man left the king's palace, he walked out into the street. And it's funny how things happen in life. Because when he's walking down the street, he met a man, a second man, who owed him $20. And the guy that he owed $20, he said, hey, I'm really low on money. I need my $20. Do you have the $20? And the second man looked at the first man. He said, "I don't have the $20. He said, "I need more time. Would you just give me more time?" And the first guy said, "I can't believe you. You've owed me the $20 for a long time. I need the $20. Give me the $20. And he said, "Please be patient." And the first man said, "No." And he had the second man arrested and thrown in jail. The king later heard what the first man did because people talk. I don't know if you're aware of that. But people talk. And a bunch of people saw this, and they came back to the king and said, "Hey, after you forgave him of that huge debt, he wouldn't forgive this man of what he had done." See, it's strange. It's strange that the first man could still be holding a sign that reads, "You owe me," to the world. And so when the king brought him into the throne room, he said, "Are you still holding the sign? After I forgave you all that, you're still holding your sign that says you owe me. And you had a man thrown in prison for 20 bucks? Well then, you yourself will join him. But you'll stay there forever." And I think what Jesus is telling us is that until we deal with forgiveness, until we deal with this issue of what others owe us, whether justly or unjustly, we are in prison. Because I'll tell you something about this sign. When I hold it, I feel powerful. But I'll tell you something else. When I hold it, I feel alone. I feel isolated. It's like it draws a circle around me. And it's the pool of my woundedness. And other people will even tell you. Somebody said to me recently, just, they were kind. It wasn't a harsh word. They said, "The thing is, you're not over that yet." I thought about that all week. I thought, my God, I'm carrying a sign around. Really interesting dynamic. And what the scriptures want us to understand is, we can pick up the sign that says, "I owe you," because God is so dependable and faithful and just and loving. Psalm 32 verse 1 says this, "Blessed are those whose transgressions are forgiven." When you are forgiven, when you accept God's forgiveness, you're blessed. Your sins are covered. Whose sins are covered? "Blessed are those whose sins the Lord does not count against them, and whose spirit, in whose spirit there is no deceit." So what that second part is really important, because what it's saying is, listen, what's really important about this is that you not want to continue to sin. In your spirit, there's no deceit. It's not that Christians want to feel guilty because of their sins. That's the stereotype. And like stereotypes of all sorts, it's mostly wrong, not mostly right. Christians aren't into feeling guilty or making others feel guilty because we talk about our sins or admit we have sins or confess our sins. What we want is to be free of the anger. To be free of the anger when we hold others in contempt who have done us wrong. And the only way we can do it is to admit that we have done wrong too. It's the great leveler. So it's only when I pick up I owe you that I can lay down you owe me. That's the starting point of forgiveness, I think, is that humility. Psalm 32:10 says this, many are the woes of the wicked, but the Lord's unfailing love. Don't you love that word, unfailing? The Lord's unfailing love surrounds those who what? Trust in Him. Wow. When I think of some of the things that embarrass me the most, I'm so happy that God's love is unfailing. Because if God's love was conditional, we'd all be lost. 1 John 1:9 says this. It's so simple. In one sentence, listen to what it says. When we confess our sins, the Lord is faithful and just and will purify us from all unrighteousness. Do you know what I love about Christianity? Is that that was not written in 3 pages with qualifiers. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just. He will forgive us of all our sins. Psalm 103, which you hear that beautiful song, the beautiful anthem. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. The Lord does not always accuse, nor will He harbor anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve. Isn't that great? Listen, do you hear that? He does not treat us as our sins deserve, or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is His love for those who fear Him. Look at this. As far as east is from west, so far He removed our transgressions from us. We've stood in the throne room, and the King has looked at us in mercy and said, I'll write it off. We can confess our sins. We can be humble because God is merciful, and this is our faith. This is our faith. This is what we believe. I'm not talking about cheap grace. Need to be really clear about that. If you've got a sinful pattern in your life, so we all have those from time to time. We get into a sinful pattern. There's a time when we just have to look at it and say, it is what it is. And the truth is, I love this sinful thing, but I must love God more. I must do that for my own sanity, for the good of my discipleship. I must love God more than this. And it's so terribly hard sometimes to give things up. And yet the Scripture says God will be there in that moment to assist us. And God will forgive us. And God will give us far more than we can ask or imagine. The way that we keep it from being cheap grace is to not hold... You know, I'll tell you something. These signs, even this sign, as good as this is, there's a better thing. So that you live without this sort of, I'm going to do anything I want, God will forgive me sense. Here's what helps me. And it's what helped. It's not like I'm teaching you something. It's what our tradition tells us. It's to stand here. So you got to get yourself right here. At the foot of the cross. You know, the old gospel hymn says, and I cling to the old rugged cross on which my Savior died. I cling to that cross. Why? Because as long as I'm looking at this cross, what I'm looking at is injustice. God is faithful and what? Just. Say faithful and just. God is faithful and just. Injustice, Christ has paid a penalty for our sins. It's not that the king just looked at us and said, I'll write it off like the money is just evaporated. It's that the king says, basically, I'll endure your debt for you. I'll bear the debt. You know all these mortgages that are getting written off? It doesn't just evaporate. It affects somebody's bottom line. And God says, I'll do this in the cross. And so the way that Christians, the thing that we really want to hold on to is not this sign or this sign. The thing that we want to hold on to is the cross itself. Now, I'm just curious, how many of you are wearing a cross right now around your neck? Or have one in your pocket? How many of you have a cross on your person right now? Here's what I want you to do. Those of you who wear a cross regularly, I want you to, at some point today, hold that cross in your hand. And I want you to look at it. Because if it becomes just a piece of jewelry that we just, you know, like a necklace. But hold it in your hand at some point today. And I want you to hold it. I want you to say, hey, God, thank you that I get to hold to this. And that means I don't have to carry this. You owe me anymore. Why? Because when we said, God, I owe you, and we stood before the cross, Jesus said, I'm paying it for you. Now, I just want to tell you, that is the great equalizer in the forgiveness conversation. And I also want to tell you something else, and it gets worse the older I get. I thought it was going to get easier the older I get, but it gets worse. This is why old people go to church. I'm serious. I didn't understand when I was a kid. I didn't understand why old people went to church because they seemed to know everything. I was like, what are you still here for? And what I now understand is it gets harder as you get older. So what the point is, what I want you to do is I want you to think about, hold that cross. And the wisdom of the cross is when you hold it, you just say, Jesus paid a price for me. Can't I then forgive somebody else? And that's not the end of forgiveness. That's just where it starts. Just where it starts. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says it so plainly. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us. One would have thought that the man who owed so much and then had his debts forgiven would want to forgive the other people who owed him so little by comparison. Wouldn't it have been good if he could have walked around with a cross and just reminded himself, I've been forgiven, and then lay down his sign? Forgiveness is hard. The first thing I want you to think about is that you'll never get rid of the sign, you owe me, unless you pick up a sign that says, I owe you. The thing that I want you to cling to is that old rugged cross. I'll be clinging to it myself. And I do each day. I am a sinner who has been forgiven. Like you. Psalm 103, as I close, says this. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as east is from west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Now, we've got a little time remaining. And in the time remaining, here's what I want to invite you to do. Ward's going to come up, and he's just going to play some music. And I'm going to give you an opportunity just to pray. You can pray in your pew, or you can come forward and pray here. I'm going to pray up front because I find it's more meaningful sometimes to get out of my seat and kneel. Kneeling is what's powerful, because kneeling is what humble people do. So I'm inviting you, if you want to pray at the altar you're invited to this morning, we're going to take about 4 minutes, and we're going to do this, and we're going to have a time of prayer. If you've never accepted Jesus Christ into your life, I will be over here. And if you want to accept Christ, and if you just come to me and say, Tom, I want to be forgiven by Christ, and I've never been forgiven, I've never done that before, I've never taken that step. If you want somebody to talk to you, you can come and talk to me, and I'll pray with you. Barbara will be there as well. If you want to just come and pray and say, God, there's some things that I need to be forgiven of, and I'm not saying them out loud, and today's the day they need to be said out loud in prayer, not out loud like to everybody, but just in your mind to God. Or maybe you're going to pray because the truth is you're still angry at somebody. And you know what? You may be right. But it's still not going to be healthy if you're holding on to it after days and days and years and years. I want to tell you, this sermon series, what I realized this past week, this sermon series is going to be no fun for me. Honestly, I just thought, oh, Jesus. But you know what? I just think it could be cleansing for us in so many ways. So if you want to pray here, you can. If you want to accept Christ, come over here. And if you need to pray for somebody else and say, God, help me take the first step, just the first faithful step towards forgiveness. Friends, today could be your day. So, Lord, would you just share some music with us?